I want to talk about the way the Jewish people left Har Sinai for a couple of minutes, because I feel like that's a good way to, we're wrapping up a Zman, getting ready for Shavuos, coming to Har Sinai, but you also have to know how to walk away from Har Sinai. Okay, so let's talk about three averos, three mistakes of Klal Yisrael that happened in Parshas Baal Oscha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that there should be three mistakes in a row. Anyone know what I'm talking about? So we know in the Torah we have these backwards nuns, these nunin hafuchin. You know the story of the backwards nuns? Vayihi ben Sal Ha'aron, Vayomer Moshe. Okay, but before we get to the backwards nuns, let's just roll it back one pasuk. So we have a Klal Yisrael again. We got the Torah at Har Sinai, and it's time for the first time to travel on. We're about to move for the first time. And the pasuk says in Baal Oscha, Yisu mehar Hashem derech shloshes. They traveled from the mountain of Hashem, a 3-day journey. V'aron bris Hashem nosei lifneim derech shloshes. And the Aron was leading the way, which, by the way, you should ask a question. That's not true. The Aron was in the middle. When they would travel, the Aron was in the middle of the camp. So some Rishonim say this was the first time they were traveling. It was a different setup, a different arrangement. It could be that there was the Aron with the broken Luchos and a separate Aron with the whole Luchos. Maybe that's what's going on here. Okay, different possibilities, whatever it may be, as to what was happening. But the bottom line is, Bnei Yisrael are leaving Har Sinai and they're traveling, and the Aron is leading the way. Lasur lahem menucha, to try to figure out where are we going to camp next. Va'anan Hashem aleihem yomam b'nasim. Okay, so they're being guided by a Kadosh Baruch Hu from Sinai to their first stop after Sinai. And then all of a sudden, you have these next two psukim, Vayihi ben Sal Ha'aron, the psukim that, of course, are very familiar to us. Right? But you have them bracketed, as it were, by these two almost parentheses, these nunin hafuchim. Now, again, it's a big discussion. How exactly do you draw the nuns? Are they facing backwards? Are they inverted? Are they upside down? Are they actually written in a Sefer Torah? There's a lot of fascinating literature regarding the Torah literature regarding the Nun and Hafuchim. But be it as it may, it almost looks like it's like, it's this bracketed passage giving the impression that it almost doesn't belong here. Let's read what the words are. Okay, we say it all the time. Do we know what it means? Vayihi ben Sal Ha'aron, Vayomer Moshe. When the Aaron would travel, so Moshe would declare, Kuma Hashem, rise up Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you lead the way. Vayafutzu oivecha, scatter the enemies, vayanusu misanecha mipanecha, chase away all the bad guys. Uvnucha yomar, and when they would rest, when the Aron would come to rest, they would say, Shuvah Hashem, rivavos alfei Yisrael, which is a big compliment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being, rivavos alfei Yisrael. Hashem, you're so massive, you're so significant in our midst. Okay, so it's psukim about the Aron, leading us. Right, the Aron would lead the way. Moshe would sing the praises of the Aron or the praises of Hashem, and then when they would rest, Moshe again would sing the praises of Hashem. It's a strange place to insert that because this is not, maybe put it in Bamidbar Perek Beis when we're first introduced to the camp, the arrangement of the camp, the traveling, how they move, and who's leading. Right? Why is it stuck in over here? And then the Psukim continue, Perek Yud Aleph in source number 2, Vayihi Ha'am Kemisonanim. Now, Bnei Yisrael, all of a sudden, they're starting to get a little agitated. The people started to become misoinonim, complainers. Rabba Azne Hashem. And Hashem gets very angry. And it says, a fire is burning in the camp. Vativar bam eish Hashem. Vetochel b'kseh hamachana. A fire is burning at the edge of the camp. The edge of the camp probably refers to the Erev Rav, those insincere converts who tried to join Klal Yisrael on their way out of Mitzrayim. They were the troublemakers here. Yitzaka Ama Moshe, right? The people come to Moshe, put out the fire, Moshe davens, and Hashem puts out the fire, and they name the place Tav'era because of the great fire that burnt there, that destructive fire. And then right after that, once again, Vasafsuf Asher Bekirbo Hisavu Tava, the people started to complain, right? The Hasafsuf, the mixed multitudes, the rabble rousers among them, started to complain. They had a strong taiva. We want meat. We remember the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim for free and all the delicious vegetables that we had. They have this longing, this nostalgic longing for what they ate in Mitzrayim. And now look at us. Ain kol bilti asama el aman einenu. And now all we have is the boring man, the same food day in and day out. Okay? So, however, you have a number of passages in a row. Again, the first one seems to be rather innocent. The Jewish people traveled from Har Sinai. Then you have a passage of Ahiben Soa Aron, bracketed for some reason, seems to be almost out of place. And then you have two rounds of complaining in a row. Says the Gemara in Mesecha Shabbos, Kuftas Vav Amid Beis, Unto Kuftas Zayin Amid Aleph. Chavre, how many books are there in the Sefer Torah? How many books of the Torah are there? Who knows five? I know five. Five are the books of the Torah. But you have to put a little footnote in your Haggadah, and you have to write, well, according to one opinion, there are actually seven books of the Torah. What do you mean seven books of the Torah? The Gemara says, Vayihi ben Soa Ha'aron Vayomer Moshe, Parsha zo asalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu simanios milamala ulamato. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made signs. Again, those are those backwards nun. Nunim. Above and below. Lomar she'ein zo makoma. As if to say, this passage, these two psukim, don't really belong here. It's almost like it's inserted, right, wrongfully in this place. Now, what does that mean? D'tani Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Asida Parsha zo, in the future, Hashem is going to put this passage right in its proper place. Back in, again, probably somewhere at the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar. So, how did these two psukim, how did Vayihi ben Soa Aron, how did Uvnucha Yomar, how did these psukim end up over here in Parshas Baalosha? Olam HaKosva Kan, says the Gemara, Kedei Lahafsig Bein Poranus Rishona L'Poranus Shnia, to break up the first mistake or punishment and the second punishment. To break up the bad behaviors of Klal Yisrael. We don't want to have three bad scenes in a row. Now, the second bad scene is they complained. The third bad scene is they complained. What was the first bad scene? What happened here that Vayihi ben Soa Aron is breaking up between the first mistake and the second mistake so they don't have a chazakah, three in a row, of making a mistake? And by the way, if we view Vayihi ben Soa Aron as its own little parsha, right, the Gemara says maybe it should be viewed even as its own little sefer. And the Gemara says, according to one opinion, we have seven books of the Torah. Listen carefully. We have Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar up to Vayihi ben Soa Aron. Then those two psukim, Vayihi ben Soa Aron is its own book. That's book number five. Then the latter part after Vayihi ben Soa Aron, till the end of Bamidbar is book 6, and Devarim is book 7. Seven books of the Torah. Very fascinating. So the Gemara says that Hashem put these two psukim in His mercy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stuck these two psukim in, so we wouldn't have three wrongful scenes in a row. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, what were the scenes? Right? Paranas Shnia Mahi, what was the second mistake? Vayhi Ha'am Kimisonim. The people were complaining. Paranas Rishona, what was the first mistake? Vayisu Mehar Hashem, that they traveled from the mountain of Hashem. They traveled from the mountain of Hashem. Va'am Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Shesaru Me'acharei Hashem. They strayed from after Hashem. Where do we see that? Hashem told them to leave. They packed up their stuff. They followed the Aron. What exactly was the mistake? And the Gemara concludes, and where does this, these two psukim really belong? They belong, like I said, at the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, by the Degalim, when it first outlines the encampments of Klal Yisrael. So what was the first mistake? What was the Saru Me'acharei Hashem? What does that mean? It sounds like they strayed, they rejected Hashem in some way. How did they reject Hashem? So Chavre, if you look in Tosfos, it's something that we've all experienced in our life. It's very true. We'll understand it on multiple levels. Tosfos says, in the name of the Medrash, you know what the first mistake was? What was the mistake? By Yisu Me'har Hashem. They traveled away from Har Sinai. They were supposed to. Hashem told them to. But Chavre, listen to how they left. Listen to how they left the first real gathering, the first yeshiva experience. Okay? What happens when you get to the end of the Zman? What's the feeling when the school year comes to an end? When the yeshiva Zman comes to an end? Says the Medrash, Vayisu Shinasu Mehar Sinai Derech Shloshish Yamim Ketino Kayotze Mebeis HaSefer. It's like a child who's leaving school, that he's what? That he runs out of school. However, we all know the experience, right? And I have very specific, like, elementary school experience memories of this. You know, the bell rings the last day of school, and now like school's finally over, and everyone's in such a good mood, and now it's summer, and the feelings are, you know, the incredible joy is so palpable in the building, right? So when Klal Yisrael left Har Sinai, so they ran away from Har Sinai like what? Like a kid running away from school on the last day. So Chav, what does that mean? What's the Pashup Shot? What does it mean? It means they had lived at Har Sinai for a year. We forget that. From the time they got the Torah, they were camped out in Sinai, right, for a year. And this is the first time they're moving on. So why are they running away? What are they so excited about to get away from Har Sinai? They're running away because they're excited to think, okay, good, we have enough mitzvos. We've learned a lot. We have enough mitzvos. It's time for a break. If we stay here any longer, maybe Hashem will give us another 613 mitzvos. Right? So they ran away from Har Sinai like a child who's boreach mi beis ha-sefer, like a kid who's running away from school. Kachayu boruchim mi Har Sinai derech shloshes yamim, lefi shalamdu harbe Torah b'Sinai. I've learned enough Torah for the semester, for the zman. It's time for me to get out of here. So Kadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanis, and Hashem said, I'm not going to have these three, again, negative scenes in a row. So Hashem inserted Vayehi ben Sava Aaron in the middle. So first of all, Chevra, if we were just to pause here, you know, Ad Kan, we'd be able to learn an incredible lesson today. When a person has the schus to learn Torah, it's okay to want to take a break. That's normal. Everyone needs a little summer vacation. It's healthy. It's normal. At the same time, how do you walk away from Torah? How do you walk away from Torah? Hopefully you walk away realizing that, you know, what a schus it's been to learn Torah. And if I'm going to take a break, it's with the intention of hopefully being able to recharge and refresh and be able to learn Torah even better. Right? In my next learning experience, should be even stronger. But I want to try to be melamed schus a little bit on Klal Yisrael. Because it's a hard passage. They ran away from Har Sinai. The Jewish people couldn't stand Har Sinai. They were bored of Har Sinai. Too much learning. Again, it's very human. It's understandable, right? But I want to try to see it in a slightly deeper way. Okay, so let's learn a letter that Rav Yitzchak Kuttner wrote to one of his students. This letter goes back to the year Tavshin Lamed Vav. That would be the year 1976. Okay, 1976. And Rav Kuttner received a letter from one of his talmidim. We don't have the letter that he wrote to Rav Kuttner, but it seems, you'll see from the response, it seems that he was writing to his Rebbe saying, Rebbe, you know, I wasn't the best guy in Shir, and I wasn't the best guy in Yeshiva, but he wrote a letter to him, and it sounds like a number of years later, saying, you know, Rebbe, you'd be proud to know that Baruch Hashem, I'm a Ben Torah, and I'm growing, and I'm learning, and I want you to be proud, I want you to have nachas. That's the letter, that sounds like that was the letter that he sent to Rav Kuttner. So Rav Kuttner writes back, and he says a very deep thing. Okay, it says, the great Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, the Baal Pachad Yitzchak. Listen to what he writes. He says, you know, I got your letter, and it helps me to understand the pasuk that I've always thought about. A pasuk in Tehillim. He writes the following. He says, "Dehine b'noig shabaolam. The way of the world is as such. Iruvin ratzel ledaber l'shimon." Right? If I want to talk to Aaron, if I want to talk to Jordan, if I have something to say to Evan, so what do? I say, can you come here a second? I want to tell you something. The way of the world, benoeg shabaolam, the way of the world is that if Reuben wants to talk to Shimon, hinehu korei es Shimon elav va'omer lo, bo elai v'adaber elecha. You want to talk to someone, you say, come here. Mendel, I want to talk to you for a second. Come over here for a second. Right? That's the normal way to do things. So says Rav Kuttner, I never understood this pasuk. Amnam David amelech b'tehillim. What does David say in Tehillim? Noeg b'zeh hanhoga hafucha. David does a bit of hafuchu, the very opposite. What does David HaMelech say in Tehillim? Chaver, listen carefully. Lichu banim shimuli. Lichu means what? Go. Lichu banim, go my children, and listen to me. Now, why would you tell someone to go if you want to talk to them? You don't send someone away if you want to talk to them. You pull them close if you want to talk to them. You say, come here so we can talk. Right. Why is David HaMelech saying lechu vanim shimuli? So says Rav Kuttner in his inimitable deep style. Says Rav Kuttner, yotzi midvar meila shebisha shadivar hu mechuvan al abanim. When you're talking to a child, and of course Rav Kuttner is being meramis to the fact that the relationship between Rebbeim and Talmidim is very much modeled after parent-child relationship. When a parent is talking to a child, yesh nahecha timsa kazu, there is such a reality as such, namely, shedafka ha'alicha lamercha kim molida es hashmiya. That dafka, by going a distance, you're able to hear. You know what the Gemara says about Moshe Rabbeinu? The Gemara says it took Klal Yisrael 40 years to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about. The Gemara says it takes 40 years to understand your Rebbe. It takes 40 years for a message that was delivered, not because the Rebbe delivered it, it was a poorly prepared shiur, or the Rebbe wasn't clear what the message was. The Rebbe can have a crystal clear message. It takes 40 years for a person, the Gemara says, to absorb that message. So David HaMelech is saying, Lichu banim shimuli. What does it mean? Go and listen to me? Yes. Sometimes you have to travel on a little bit in life in order to understand things. I'm beginning to understand things in my life, you know, now that I'm 42 years old. I'm like beginning to understand things that happened 20 years ago and the hashpa it had, for good, for bad. It takes a long time as human beings to process things. So David HaMelech says, Lichu, go weiter, travel on, and then maybe some of the seeds that were planted will start to sprout. So Rav Huttner says, Klomar, Hanishma mekarov eino miskabel. Chera, I can't tell you how often I hear this. Please take it to heart. I hear it from guys all the time. Guys who were in YU, were in the shir, other shirim. Guys who think back at their time when they were in yeshiva, and they say, oh my gosh, I wish I could go back. I wish I would have appreciated it more. I wish. I hear from guys all the time. Guys who sometimes complained when they were in YU about this or about that, you know, all the petty complaints. And now they look back and they're like, oh, it was such a good time. It was such a good opportunity for my chevra, for my learning, for so many things. It was such a good time. But you only hear that, you only process that once you step back. Imagine trying to look at a piece of art, a beautiful painting, with your nose pressed up against it. You can't see anything. You take a step back, you start to, all of a sudden, you start to gain some perspective. You can see the brush strokes. You can start to understand the nuance, the details, right? But when you're in it all the time, you don't even appreciate what you have. So it says Rav Huttner, that which is heard up close is sometimes not well received. Aval b'shah shaholchim u'misrachim chala hashmiya lemafreya. But when you travel on and you gain a little distance, then chala, retroactively, lemafreya, retroactively, the shmiya is chal, the shmiya takes effect. So Rav Huttner writes to this Talmud, he says, there were many times we sat together, there were many times we learned together, there were many times I davened for your success, there were many times that we, you know, we fought it out about different things, right? There was a lot of things, a lot of words that were shared. Again, it must have been a guy who in yeshiva, you know, him and Rav Huttner probably went at it quite a number of times. He said, and dibarti diburim shel iskar v'si diburim shel archaka. There were times when I tried to pull you close and times where I had to give you musr, and, you know, push you back, put you in your place. And I felt at times like I was, you know, I was like, just like, literally like throwing, you know, throwing rocks. Like, I didn't know what I was, you know. I was just like, I was trying everything with you, and I didn't know if anything would ever work. Right? And I was hoping that one day, right, that the words would hit home. But I felt at times that I was like, I was talking to a wall, like it wasn't penetrating. And now all of a sudden he says, I get this letter from you. Right? V'niskaimu dvarav shel David HaMelech. And I feel that what? And I feel that you've fulfilled this pasuk. In yeshiva, you didn't get it. But now you're writing me this letter. Oh, Rebbe, I'm learning, I'm shtagging, I'm growing, I'm davening. Right? All these things that you're saying to me, it resonates like the words of David HaMelech. So he says, this is a lechu banim shimuli. And then he concludes the letter, and again, in this very Rav Huttner-esque style, v'zohi ha-she'ila sheni ma'amid lefanecha. He said, and this is the question I want to pose to you in response to your letter. Hashivani davar, please, respond to me, answer me. In be'emes ha-siba shel toichan michtavcha, hu mitzara pasuk shel David HaMelech. Right? Is the reason you wrote me this letter, is this what it's about? That's what it sounds like to me. Sounds like you're not just catching me up on your life. We haven't spoken in a while. It sounds like you're living this pasuk. You're saying thank you without saying thank you, but you're saying thank you, Rabbi, for all the time you invested in me, because Baruch Hashem, those seeds eventually sprouted. It's a beautiful insight, and it's so true to life, not just in learning but in everything. It takes a long time, chaver, for a person to get perspective, to be able to understand what it is that he's experienced. But I want to share another insight from an incredible sefer called Hadrash Vayion, which again I imagine most of you have not heard of, from Aaron Levine. Hashem should avenge his blood. He died al Kiddush Hashem. The Reisha Rav. Okay, maybe some Talmidim of Rav David will have heard of the sefer before. He likes the sefer a lot. It's a beautiful sefer, very hard to find. Magnificent sefer. So he has an awesome vart in Parsha Saf. Very mysterious Yerushalmi. It says, we know that the Mizbeach, we have to picture it first of all properly. Right? In the Beis HaMikdash, so of course there's the inner Mizbeach, which was relatively small, but then there's the outer Mizbeach in the courtyard. Right? The big Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, or in the Mishkan, let's take the Beis HaMikdash for example, was massive. The Mizbeach was not the Mizbeach HaKtoira, it's not the little inside Mizbeach. The big outside Mizbeach where the Karbanos were offered was about 20 feet off the ground. There was a ramp that a person had to ascend. It was 15 to 20 feet off the ground. The space on top was approximately 60 feet square. We're talking about a huge surface, this massive surface. And on top of the Mizbeach, it's Machlokas Tanayim in the Mishnayos, there were different fires that were burning. There were fires serving different purposes. Right? One was for preparing coals, to prepare, coal to be used, to be taken from there for the haktaras haktoras, for the burning of the haktaras. There was the main fire. There was another fire just to keep a flame always burning. Eish tamid tukar al mizbeach leisichbe, as we're about to see. According to one opinion, there was a fourth fire. Three or four pyres, pyre, not fire, P-Y-R-E, means like a pile of fire, a pyre. There are three or four stations on top of the mizbeach. So the pasuk tells us in Chumash, Eish tamid tukar al mizbeach leisichbe. You've got to keep that fire burning all the time. If you look in the Yerushalmi in Maseches Yoma, you find an interesting thing. The Yerushalmi says, Lo sichbe, the fire has to always be burning, af b'masos, even when they would travel. When they would dismantle the Mishkan, and when they travel, you have to carry the Mizbeach with a fire burning on top? I mean, that sounds like quite the task, right? But Chaver, listen to what the Reish Rav says so beautifully. And it's a really important message for us to take with us into the summer. What does it mean the fire has to continue to burn even when you travel? You all understand where he's going with this. It seems to me that in this teaching of Chazal, there's hidden a very important Musar Shmus. Have a listen carefully. The experience has proven to us. Asher beyosa adam bebeso, eino alol kolkach lachto. When a person is in his house, and by house here we mean his regular routine, when he's part of his community, in our context, when he's with his chevra, when he has a schedule, when he has regular shiurim, right? It's not as alul, it's not as commonplace for him to what? Lachto, to sin, or chet also means to miss the mark. In other words, hopefully, if he's taking advantage of the opportunity, so he's able to have a degree of consistency in his avodas Hashem. And therefore, even when the Yetzer Hara tries to seduce him to do an Avera, Yisgabra elavelo Yisraelo, he's not interested. V'zeh ki biyoso bebeiso b'makom meguro, because when he has the home court advantage, so to speak, hinu mukav tamen mikal yoidim umakirim asher yedach teko achrov. He's got people who are paying attention. There's people who are watching over him. Right? There's an expectation. So if this guy, usually goes to Minyan and then he stops showing up for like a month, so people are going to notice, right? So that hopefully, that pressure, that, religious societal peer pressure, which can sometimes be very good, can sometimes be bad, but it can also be very good, keeps him doing the right thing. There's an expectation. People expect him to act a certain way. And therefore he's being watched. And if he deviates, so it's going to be a source of embarrassment for him. But however, what happens when you're on your own? What happens when you're on vacation? What happens when you're traveling? What happens when you don't have a regular shir? Right? What happens when you're not bumping into the regular chevra, for weeks and months, literally, at end? So what happens then? When does a person unfortunately deviate? When does the Yitzhara able to put out a nice spread, so to speak, and to seduce him to sin? When he's far from his house, when he's badarach, right? When he's on the road, when he's traveling, when he has a different routine. B'makom nachri, in a place where he's a foreigner, where no one knows him, and he thinks no one's watching, because no one's going to catch me. Hashem's watching, but you know, you don't feel it the same way. And then all of a sudden the Yitzhara tries to get him to do things that he would never do in his regular routine. Now he thinks he can do what he wants and get away with it. After all, my ways are nistra, my ways are hidden from people. No one knows what I'm up to. That's what Chazal are saying to us. That's what Chazal are screaming to us through this Maimer Chazal, this Yerushalmi. Make sure the fire continues to burn and it should never be extinguished, even when you're traveling. Because it's the same Rabbono Shalom who you believe in at home, in the community, with the Chevra, in Shir, that hopefully you can take with you wherever you go, wherever you find yourself. And not to say, well, now, you don't know, no one sees me and no one knows what I'm up to. So now, you know, all of a sudden my standards change. My expectations that I've set for myself are now totally diminished. And I'm lenient about things that I would never be lenient about. That's not an honest way to be. That's not what an Eved Hashem is. It goes back to our shir about being an Eved Hashem is the hallmark of everything that we're trying to be. And Eved Hashem has to live with consistency wherever he is, or at least strive his best to do so. And that's why we find again when we travel in Parshas Va'alotzcha, and again, I know we're digging deep into Parshas Va'alotzcha this year. Right? You'll save it, I guess, for a couple of weeks from now when you really need it. In Parshas Va'alotzcha, when we travel, look how many times the Torah emphasizes what it means to travel with Hashem and to dwell with Hashem, to camp with Hashem. Al pi Hashem yisu b'nei Yisrael. Al pi Hashem. If Hashem says to go, you go. Al pi Hashem yachanu. According to Hashem, you camp. Two psukim later. Al pi Hashem yachanu, val pi Hashem yisau. Two psukim later. Al pi Hashem yachanu, val pi Hashem yisau. How many times do you have to say it? Says the holy Shla Kadosh in Parshas Va'alotzcha. Yes, the Torah is teaching us an important thing. That through all the travels, it tells us again and again, Al pi Hashem yisu, al pi Hashem yisau, al pi Hashem yachanu. Again and again. Why? Ba'ofen shebeshiftam bebeisam b'chol ha'ofanim. Uvelechtam b'derech. The Torah says it forwards and backwards. The Torah is weaving it all together. Whether you're resting or traveling. Whether you're traveling or resting. The Torah wants to emphasize again and again and again. It's al pi Hashem, it's al pi Hashem, it's al pi Hashem. It's always al pi Hashem. Hakol yehadveikus bo yizbarach ba'lichasam u'b'chazerasam. On the way out of yeshiva, you go with Hashem. On the way back to yeshiva, you go with Hashem. And he says that's why it's forwards and backwards. Right? It says it again and again. Al pi Hashem yisu, al pi Hashem yachanu. And then it flips it around. Al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisau. Makesh hachanoyel and asiyah vanasiyah lachanoyel, the traveling and the resting, the traveling. However, the goal is to try to live a consistent life. And it's hard. We're all a strange mix of a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on inside of us. We'll just scroll back up for 1 second. Right, back over here, by the third mistake of Klal Yisrael, Ha'asasuf asher b'kirbo hisavu tava. So Tzadikim explain that the asafsuf, again, the asafsuf means like the irbuvia, the jumble, right? The strange mix, the mixed multitude, the Erev Rav, the people we picked up along the way. But part of the idea Tzadikim explain is that every one of us is an asafsuf. Every one of us is a mix of a lot of different things. I have a chelek alokah mimal, I have a nefesh abahami, I have a neshama, I have a guf. Right? I have a lot of different things. So there's an asaf suf asher bekirbo. There's a lot of things that are brewing inside of me. And some of them have very strong taivas. Right? And sometimes we lose sight of ourselves to such a radical degree that I'm literally eating the man and longing. How sick is that? I wish I could be back in Mitzrayim. How did you forget what life was like in Mitzrayim? You're going to sell yourself back to Mitzrayim because they had better cucumbers there? Because the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim? What, are you crazy? But sometimes we become so radically deceived and deluded by our warped taivas that it sends us far off course. And therefore, al pi Hashem yisu, al pi Hashem yachanu. Al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisau. We have to weave it all together to try to be as wholesome as we can. Let's just end by going back to that Maamar Chazal that we saw last week, Rav Yosef's statement, and I want to add another interpretation from the Divrei Shmuel of Slana. Rav Yosef told us in Maseches Pesachim that on Shavuos he would make a big feast. And he said, I'm going to make such a big feast because Eloha Yoma Dekagarim, if not for what this day did for me, this transformative day, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. There are many Yosefs in the marketplace, right? I would have just been an average Joe. Rashi explains, if you just look at the footnote for a second, Rashi says, Shalamadati Torah v'nisramamti. Rav Yosef was saying, I learned Torah and I became elevated because of that. And if not, Harei Anoshim Harvi Beshuk, Sheshaman Yosef. There are many people in the marketplace called Yosef. And what would make me different than them? Ma Beni Leveinam. What would make me different? Amavdim in Kodesh L'chol. What would make me different? So we explained last week, right, based on the piece we learned in the Sarei Alafim, that Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka means I would be a lot of different people in a lot of different environments. And that's very much relevant to our Shir today. Right? Am I the same person when I'm Babayis, when I'm Baderach? Do I keep the fire burning up in myself? Am I the same person who travels with Hashem and camps with Hashem? But I want to add one more nekuda, a beautiful vart that I saw in a sefer quoting the Divrei Shmuel. The Divrei Shmuel was the Slonim Rebbe. He quotes this Maamar Chazal and he says the following: Al Maamar Chazal Shrav Yosef Amar Ilav Hayoma Kagarim Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. So here's how the Divrei Shmuel of Slonim interprets it. She'im lo hayom shebo nitna Torah. If not for the day, that great day of Kabbalah Satorah, if not for Shavuos, right, if not for the Rabbanu Shalom giving us the gift of his Torah, then kama tosafot u'mosros shel hashuk hamagusham hayu nidvakim chas v'shalom. Kama Yosef ika b'shuka doesn't just mean how many Joes are there in the marketplace. It means how many tosafos, how many additions would I have in my life in the marketplace? Like we just said 2 minutes ago, every one of us is an asaf suf. We're all a combination of a lot of things. We're a combination of the things that we see and the people we talk to and the images that we're exposed to and the ideas that we read about. We're all a combination of a lot of things. We're influenced by family. We're influenced by friends. We're influenced by society. And we pick up on a lot of stuff and we bring a lot of stuff into our inner world. Some of it's good. A lot of it's not so good. But imagine if I didn't have a framework, a box that I was trying to live within. If I didn't have a Torah to create, again, some sense of like, you know, I can do, there's still a lot of things going on, but like at least like, okay, you know, a little bit I live within some boundaries. Har Sinai is all about boundaries. At Har Sinai they were told, you can go here, not allowed to go here. The Torah gives me a framework for living. And if I didn't have that, you know what Rav Yosef said? How many other hosafos, how many additions, how many extra things from the shuk hamagusham, from the very unrefined marketplace? The marketplace doesn't just mean, you know, it means the world of ideas. How many more ideas would be in my head? How much more nonsense would enter my inner world? How much would cling to me? That's what he was saying. If not for this day, if not for Kabbalah Satorah, how many more things would I have in my life? So, however, we all have a lot of stuff in our life. We all pick up a lot of stuff from the world. But, okay, ad kan, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need to spend the summer collecting, like, more nonsense from the world. Find a way to allow the summer to be a time to recharge and a time to refresh, right? But to travel with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, wherever it takes you. To make sure I have a structure to my day. To figure out, when am I davening? When am I learning? How am I staying connected? I want to come back, Emirat Hashem, for those of us who are coming back. Not everyone here is coming back next Zman. But for those who are coming back, do I want to come back much worse? Or do I want to come back at least as good, if not better? The summer is a great opportunity. But you have to be a person who travels with Hashem. And you have to be a person who doesn't just pick up more and more stuff from the world. You have to be a person who lives within boundaries. And you have to be a person who takes a step back from yeshiva. Right? And again, that's the limud zchus I want to say on Klal Yisrael. You know why they were running away from Har Sinai? Maybe we could say in a positive way. They weren't running away from Har Sinai. The problem was they were so used to living at Har Sinai for a year that they didn't appreciate Torah anymore. They were used to it. What do you mean? What do I do every day? They were running to take a step back, like Rav Hutner's letter, so they can get perspective. They wanted to be able to say, what did I acquire this year? You want to hear a great opportunity for everyone? Daf Yomi is starting Maseches Gittin very, very soon. Very, very soon. So, okay. I don't know if you're going to learn Daf the whole summer. Maybe you can. There's a lot of options. Some shiurim are take you not more than a half hour a day to get a nice, clear shiur on the Daf Yomi. Right? You can chazer Maseches Gittin. But at the very least, hop on for the first couple of blot, you know? A little nostalgia. Go back. Take a step back. Go back to where we started and see it again. You know, it's a great opportunity to, like Rav Huttner is saying, there's a shmia, there's a recognition, an internalization of what we've learned that comes from taking a step back. So that was, again, that's my limud tzchus on Klal Yisrael. I know the Gemara says it was an aveira that they ran away from Har Sinai and Hashem broke it up with the Vayhi ben Tzoharon. But I also think there's a way to say to Klal Yisrael, you know, maybe we got so used to Har Sinai, we wanted a new perspective. So that's what the summer offers us. It gives us a chance to take a step back, to try to process a little bit some of the things we learned. Right, flip through your Ramban, flip through your more of a Shemesh, flip through your Gittin, see where we've been, remind yourself where you've traveled, and then try to go weiter, try to keep building yourself up. That's my bracha to all of us. Okay, thoughts, comments, reflections, advice for how we can have a successful summer.
Rabbi, when does Gittin Daf Yomi start?
A couple of days, I think later this week. I think today is Sota, maybe Mem Zayin. Sota has 49 Daf. So if today is Mem Zayin, so that means tomorrow is Mem Ches, Mem Tes, and then Gittin. So Gittin will start on Thursday, perhaps.
Rabbi, do you think that from the beginning this year when Rabbi was talking about how they were running away and it was big sin and stuff like that, do you think the people were running away to do the mitzvahs? Because it's not just about like hearing it and learning.
Right, so that's another, I thought of that also.
Actually do it.
That's a great shot, Yoni. Yeah, maybe they were saying like, okay, enough talking about it. It's time to, you know, get out to the world and do it, you know?
You can learn as much as you want, but if you're not applying it into your actual life.
Right. They were living it, they were applying it, but, you know, there was a sense of like, you know, it's time to become Shluchim of the Rebbe, like it's time to spread it to the world. You know, like Ad Khan camping out, and it's very nice to have this nice intimate little chevra camped out at Har Sinai, you know, learning, eating the man, and just enjoying each other's company. But you know, it's time to go build that ideal society in Eretz Yisrael. It's time to go spread it to the world. So right, you could say they were running with an enthusiasm to go live it. But again, the Pashup Shah remains the Pashup Shah, which was. Even if on the surface they were saying, you know, we want to gain perspective, we want to go live it, a little bit there was like a sense of like, okay, good, we were up to 613 mitzvos, you know, if we stick around longer, it's going to be up to 813 mitzvos. So they were excited to finally get away. But I think, you know, like anything, there's layers to it, so we could try to be malam mitzvos. But I like your pshat. I like your pshat a lot. It's a good pshat.